This morning, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Kings, the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. We're going to be looking at chapter 17, and I feel like we're going to be moving here for a while. We'll see, but I feel feeling like that right now. But 1 Kings 17, and focus on part of our theme this year, just being real, be real, right? And so we want to do that as a church. Somebody's be the church, Lori, I think, said this morning. And that's what we do. And I tell you, here at the Rock Church, we just commit ourselves to the purposes of God. We're here to build faith. Amen? Because the most important thing is our relationship with God. We're here to build families, the biological family, because there's no way to have a healthy society, a healthy church, a healthy community without there being healthy families. And also the family of God, the church, right? Because sometimes there's just through life and circumstances and transitions, you know, from here to heaven, there's holes in our life sometimes. And thank God for the church that we can come together and be together, right? And help one another. And so it's so vital. We're here to build futures. We're here to help one another to become all God wants us to be, fulfill our divine purpose. How many know your life has purpose and meaning? God's got things he wants to do for you and through you. And also building bridges, because God's using us to connect with one another and with people all over this world, right? Building relationships and connecting with those that need the Lord. And so all of those things. So we commit ourselves to that and enjoy what God is doing. And so praise God. Friend, God is still on the throne. He's in control. He's got you. Amen? He's got you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got you. All right. All right. Well, how many of you there? 1 Kings 17, how many of you there? Right? Okay. We're going to read one verse and one verse only. All right? 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. And says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbea in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. I want you to say that phrase, at my word. Because I want to speak to you this morning about that very thing, at my word. And in saying that, we're talking about real authority, all right? And so, Father, I pray you'll help me this morning. God, help me to help your church family to hear what you're wanting to say to us today. And God, just help me to communicate clearly, help us to hear and understand, and Lord, that we leave here changed by your power, by your spirit, by your word. Make us stronger, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And again, everybody said, amen. You know, at my word, and I'm talking about real authority. How many of you remember that at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, there in Matthew chapter 7, we get to the end of the message that the crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching. Why? Because his words he spoke with real authority. How many of you know words can have authority? Right? And so Jesus' words have authority, and we know that ultimately he is the supreme authority. What he says is what matters the most. He's in charge. But here in this passage, in this single verse that we've just read, here the one speaking with authority is Elijah. When he says, at my word, at my word. Now, how many of you know we're routinely receiving and weighing people's words. And we share pieces of information. We share news about various things, right? Various sources. And so we might share some piece of information and we ask somebody, so where did you hear that? Who told you that? Where did you find that out? Right? Regular. We regularly ask those things. And based on the source, we may say, you know, where'd you hear that? Oh, so-and-so told me. And they say, oh, you say, they don't know anything. You can't rely on that. Right? Oh, okay. You know, depending on the source, right? Or you might say that we share something and you say, well, who told you that? So so-and-so told me that. Or I heard this. Oh, really? Wow. Interesting. Well, you know, if they said it, something's about to happen. Something's going on, right? And so we take seriously or not seriously what's been said based on the source and upon their authority, upon their our understanding of them, right? And, you know, there's a powerful commercial that was put on years ago, before some of you were born, in the 70s, and it might have even carried on to the 80s. And how many of you can identify with me when I say this? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Cool, how do you remember that? Y'all don't remember that? Okay, right. This is a long time ago. But it still carries on. When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens, right? And it went on for decades, and many people still remember it today. And so there's power in that at my word, at E.F. Hutton's word, that there's authority. And so Elijah has spoken the word. But when we pick this up, it's important for us right now to just pick up on what's happening here. And so let me kind of lay some groundwork. And I'll just say this. When this event happened, what we just read, when it happened, I'm going to tell you, people were in a place of desperate need. And if you've not been there, you've just not lived very long, because, you know, at various times in life, we have desperate needs of various nature. And maybe you're here today and you feel that way. And I'm going to tell you where to get to that, but I got a word for you, okay? And so anyway, but people were in need. They needed a word. How many know the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge? Where there is no vision or where there is no revelation, people perish. And it's important to understand the background here, which would truly fit perfectly into a typical Hollywood film. You know, today, movie ratings, there's various kinds of ratings. If you would go to see a movie, it might be rated G. I don't know if there's any rated G movies anymore, but rated G or rated PG or PG-13 or rated R, or now they call it rated NC-17. That means you would have to be 18 years or older to get in. And, you know, this setting here would fall under the latter. And really, truthfully, what's happening here isn't suitable for anybody. How many of you have seen sometimes you're watching television and program comes on and it's preceded by a warning? Maybe it says something like this: this show contains scenes that some viewers may find disturbing. Viewer discretion advised. Intended for a mature audience only. Some scenes include nudity, strange language, bloody violence, and so on. Well, those things would be included at this time in the history of this nation. And when we get here, the king who's actually mentioned here in this story becomes infamous. His name, Ahab. The nation's kings had led the people farther and farther from their spiritual roots and deeper into sin. And just when it seemed like things couldn't get worse, Ahab takes the throne. Now, if you don't know about Ahab, he was a wicked man. He was a wicked king. And you read up to the previous chapters in chapter 16, about the last five or six verses, it tells about him. But Ahab, you'll find Ahab considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was the first of the kings of Israel when Israel as a nation had split and you had a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. 10 of the tribes remained in the north, and that was part of the northern kingdom, and Jeroboam was king over that. The southern kingdom was Rehoboam, the Boam boys, and it was a mess. Even the southern kingdom had struggles. But Jeroboam was a king who really introduced the idolatry of the land, and God warned him and about where the direction he was going and leading them into a very dark place. And one king after another began to get worse and worse. And so Ahab, he considered the sins of Jeroboam even to be trivial, just no big deal. That's how wicked he was. And then he did something that was unthinkable. He married a woman by the name of Jezebel, oh Jezzy. She was a daughter of the king of the Sidonians and a priest who was also a priest of the god Baal. So he marries Jezebel, and Jezebel was the priestess of Baal. And she was truly a villainous woman whose name became generic. It's a generic term even used today. I pray that you don't say this about anybody, but they said she's a real Jezebel. That means she's not good. She's wicked, she's evil, she's a real Jezebel. In fact, it carried on so much that even in the book of Revelation, that one of the churches, if I remember right, might have been Thyatira, that Jesus said, I have this one thing against you. You have allowed this woman Jezebel in. And it wasn't this literal Jezebel, but the spirit of Jezebel within the church. And so she was a horrible, horrible lady. And she led Ahab. She led her husband, and they married. It wasn't for love. It was for political reasons. I don't think she was really capable of love. But she married him for political reasons and had him to build a temple for Baal and an altar for Baal and an image of Baal to be worshipped and establish the system of worship there in Israel, in the Holy Land. This is being set up. And if you don't know anything about Baal worship involved temple prostitution. Unspeakable things going on. At times even requiring human sacrifice. People offering their own babies into the arms of Baal in effort to have their needs met, their prayers answered. And they would cry out, scream out, ecstatic cries and screams and dance before him in all kinds of manner and self-inflicted injuries, cutting themselves, scratching themselves, doing all kinds of things, all in an effort to try to have Baal to answer them. And that's the reason for the warning that I mentioned earlier, because the scene was horrible. It was a dark day. Dr. McGee said this. He said, what Ahab didn't think of, Jezebel did. And what Jezebel didn't think of, no one could, because she was just that bad. But scripture says that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than did, and to arouse the anger of the Lord than all the kings of Israel before him. And Jezebel was right by his side cheering him on. And after decades, folks, of spiritual compromise, apathy, and neglect, the nation is in a major moral mess. And its light is about to go out. Remember, this is Israel we're talking about. The same Israel we know today. The Israel that God started through the man by the name of Abram that he called and made him into Abraham, the father of many nations. He called Abraham and he said, out of you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you, right? I'm going to curse those that curse you. And I'm going to bless you, and you and your people will be a blessing to all the world. God called forth this people, chosen people, to be a light to the world, and whereby their life, the way they lived, the way they act, the way they thought, everything about them was to be a reflection of God. And while other people are worshiping idols and things and people that are seen, Israel was to worship the unseen God, the eternal God, right? And be an example to the world and point people to God. And yet we see all of these things happening here. So it's a dark day. How many would agree? They needed a word. They were in trouble. They were desperate, right? And so Lord, help us in this. Now, this story, it seems like, and maybe you've seen this happen before, it seems like when things are at their worst, God brings his best. Because it's in the middle of this setting that all of a sudden God like shows up. And so here we are in this setting. And so, you know, I mentioned that because we've got to understand how bad it is, or we won't appreciate how good it can possibly be and how important this word is that's brought at this time. So against this depressing backdrop, a man who had never been heard of before, nobody knew who he was, all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere, and his name is Elijah. And all of a sudden Elijah shows up, and he steps into Ahab and Jezebel's court, and he stands before him, and he says this: "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Wow. Man. Now Elijah, his name means "my God is Yahweh." Jezebel, her name means "my father is Baal." And Baal was the fertility god, enabling not only the people to have children, so to speak, but enabling the earth to produce crops. And he was considered to be the most powerful of all gods. So when she's saying, "my father is Baal," Elijah walks in saying, "my God is Yahweh," Elijah's saying, "Baal is not in charge here." How many can say that with me in your life? Baal's not in charge here. There's no other god in charge here. I'm serving the God of all gods, the God of Israel. I'm serving the one and only true God. I pray that's where you find yourself this morning. Amen? And so you could imagine that the situation, the moment is tense, to say the least, right? We think the political arena today in America is tense. Listen, that's nothing to what happened just right here. But really, we are in a battle. I'm going to pause here and I'm going to say something. It's kind of a side note. I didn't know if I was going to say it, but let me say something to you, church. Listen, in the middle of what we're going through, I want to say I thank God for the many big changes that are happening in our nation today. Not because they're red or blue, but because there's some things happening that are biblically aligned. And I'm going to be very careful here. Everything that needs to be addressed is not being addressed, and it never will be until Jesus comes back. We're going to continually be struggling. However, there are some good things happening. I could, in fact, name at least a dozen major moves that current leadership is making that are the right moves because they're aligning with biblical principles. But hear me, church. Here's what we need to be concerned with. They're being anchored to unstable foundations of popularity and common sense. What we need to pray for is that they become anchored to their original foundation, God's word, which is the real authority. Why do I say that? Because popularity and common sense are fluid. They're going to change. Just because some good things are popular today doesn't mean they're going to be popular tomorrow. God said there'll come a time when good to be bad, bad to be good, right to be right, left to be right, and up to be down and down and be up, and things be all messed up, right? And we're still in the middle of that, right? So it's not about popularity. And it's not about even common sense. Because even that's fluid. So what we need to pray for, church, and what we need to not get comfortable with is not just because there's some good things happening that do have biblical principles attached. We've got to pray that the real things that bring, with righteousness will exalt a nation. Righteousness, as God defines it, as defined in his word, will exalt a nation. And so we've got to pray that we have the good things anchored back, not to popularity, not to common sense, but deeper to the word of God. Because it's unchanged. How do you understand what I say about that? Because unless we get there, it's just all shaky. It's unstable. Okay? Even what you say, you can say, you know what, you do this, why? Because I said so. All right? Well, if you're doing that, you're just basing it upon on you. But you're saying that do this because this is because God made us and God called me. He gave me the ability to raise you as my child and my son and my daughter. And God's going to hold me accountable for how I teach you and how you respond to me. And so you need to do this because this is God's moral standard. You're taking somebody farther than just you. You're taking them to the foundation, which is the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's all fluid. Otherwise, it's just a random word and it's not based on anything that's totally solid. Well, anyway. All right? Folks, we got to get this. Now, that's a side note. That's for free. So Elijah goes in and declares this. It's not going to rain. We're not going to have dew nor rain for the next several years except at my word. How many of y'all can say, now that's bold? In fact, that's the kind of boldness that'll get you killed. Right? But all that's required for evil to triumph is for good men to say nothing, right? And no doubt, I can just imagine, you know, I mean, I don't think, just knowing Ahab and Jezebel, I don't think they were used to people getting in their face and tell them, now let me tell you what, right? You didn't do that because you're going to die. You're going to get your throat slit or hung or whatever, right? They won't see you ever again. And so he does that. And I think they're probably taken back by that. And that's because of what Elijah had in him. What a message that he delivered. No dew nor rain for the next few years. How many of you ever wanted to control the weather? How many of you ever tried to control the weather even for a day? You got a special thing coming up, right? And you, come on, have you ever prayed, special event? God, please don't let it rain this weekend. God, please don't let it snow today. Lord, please this weekend, of all the times, please. How many know that's really selfish? People saying, oh, please don't let it rain. It's, you know, it's March, April. You know, it's like we need the rain. The farmers need the rain, right? We need these things. We need it for the flowers. And so we can be really selfish in our prayers. Not that we ever do that, but in galaxies far, far away, it happens, right? And so, but it's bizarre. How many know that's bizarre? He's praying that doesn't rain. No dew nor rain. Not for a few days, not for a few weeks, or even months, but for years. I mean, folks, that's just hard. I don't want to go through that. Would you? No rain for over three. Can you imagine what this place looks like? Right? Dry, dark, dead, horrible. This was bizarre. So much so they probably just shocked at him and maybe thought, this is a bad man. Forget him. With respect to meteorologists, I always felt somewhat jokingly, now you know what? If I ever needed a job, I think I could do that one. Any meteorologists, any weathermen in here, weather ladies? Good, okay, I can talk freely, all right. But anybody ever thought the same thing? Now, I can do that. You know, I mean, in this day of merit-based stuff, which I think is good, you know, you got to have the goods. But, you know, I think, you know, I might have enough merit to be able to do that. I mean, I really think I could call 10 seniors together and say, hey, what do y'all think about the weather, you know, And they can go from their years of experience and they can talk about, well, you know, the way my back's been acting up and the way my joints have been affected. How many of y'all say, that's me? All right. And if that ain't enough, you know, well, you know, I've been studying those woolly worms and I can tell how thick they are and how the distance is. It's going to be a long, hard winter, you know. And with that information compiled together, I can say, there's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow. The winds are going to shift from the west and they're going to begin to come out of the north. And there's a 50% chance that we're going to have precipitation. And depending on when the jet stream comes down, you know, it might be rain and possibility of ice, or it could be snow. But tomorrow's looking like it's going to be a little bit precipitation, you know. How many of y'all feel like you could do that? Well, Elijah steps up and talk about a weather report. It's not going to rain for 3.5 years or till whenever I say so. At my word, there's not been a weatherman in the world we could count on. Why? Because you can't control and you can't predict the weather. Now, what a joke. We can laugh about it and we can play weatherman, and if we get it wrong, it ain't no big deal. Weatherman gets it wrong this week, you know, about the snow in the middle of the week, you know, that's one thing. But Elijah gets it wrong, and his ministry's over. And there's no real hope here. And Israel remains backslidden. They needed a word. And Elijah spoke with authority. And as it turned out, he was right. And for the first month, it didn't rain. I began to think about it. First 2 months, it didn't rain. I could just imagine how Ahab's feeling. 3 months, no rain. 6 months, it hadn't rained. Wow, we're in a major drought. A year, no rain, no dew, no nothing. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. They're ticked off. That's why we're going to go through this, and we're going to find a time when Ahab's out looking for him. They've just done everything, and they're going to find this guy. Right? 3.5 years. And if you know the story, if you've read ahead, you know that after 3.5 years, at Elijah's word, and he speaks to Ahab, I smell the smell of rain. And because of Elijah's word and the authority of his word and the power of his word, he became one of the most famous persons in history, in all the Bible. Amen? He had a word. He spoke with authority. Folks, that's a big deal. You understand how severe the situation is? You understand how big of a word that was? I'm unheard of. Unthinkable. Who would say it, right? But he's right. Now, here's the deal. You can do the same thing. Look at your neighbor. Say, you can do the same thing. James 5, 16, 18. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and Jezebel, the earth produced its crops. Because God is the authority, he's in control. Amen? So take that, Jezebel. Take that, followers of Baal. Right? It happened, and it happened at Elijah's word. How? Because God had given him authority. God had given him authority to speak it and to see it accomplished. And church, God likewise has given us, as his children, as his followers, God has given us authority. Amen? Look at your neighbor. God's given you authority. There's places like in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and Jesus says to his followers, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, say all, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. How many of you know that words have power? It has power, exousia, authority. And sometimes we use it without even realizing it. Those of you who own a home. It happens. Somebody comes to your doorstep and they knock on the door and you open the door, and then all of a sudden, depending on your relationship with them or the circumstances, they're standing there and you can say, "Why don't you come on in?" That's authority. Or if somebody shows at the door that you don't want to hear what they have to say, or you don't want what they're selling, they say, "You mind if I come in for a minute?" "Yes, I do." You'll be fine just out there. And you are exercising authority because you have authority over that. How many know that God's given you authority in your life? God's given authority through you. He's given authority in words. And God wants, and especially when here's the key, is when we've heard from God. In Genesis 2:19, and we see this at the very beginning, let me tell you that what happens in Genesis is so important. Even though it's brief, there's so much there that many times we overlook. God's establishing how he's going to work. He made Adam and he made Eve, right? He called them, he blessed them, he spoke to them. Do you know none of the other creatures, nothing else that God created did he ever communicate with? Only us. So God's communicating with us, speaking to us. And in that, God spoke to Adam, and he did this. He brought all the animals to Adam to see what Adam would name them. And whatever Adam named them, whatever he spoke over them. So if any animals hacked off at their name, Adam did it. But whatever he named them, God didn't say, "Nah, I don't know about that one. Why don't you try again?" Whatever Adam named him, that was its name. Why? Because God gave Adam the ability and the authority to do that assignment. And friends, God is still giving ability and authority to do things that he needs done. Amen. And I want you to know, there's so many things going on in the world, things going on in your life, things going on in your heart, in your family, in your thoughts, in our community, right? Things going on in our schools, things going on in America, things going on in the world. But you know what we need? We need people who can say, "At my word," not because any of us are the divine authority, not because of us, not because of who we are, not because we're super beings, not because of that, but because we have been in God's presence and we have met with the King, and all of a sudden we can say, "At my word," with authority, because we've heard from his word and he has saying this, "Go speak this," and we're saying what God said. And when God says it, then we hear it, we can speak it with authority. God's given you authority. Amen. He's given you authority over all the things. He gave Adam and Eve authority over all the fish, all the animals, right? Over all the earth. And they stupidly gave it up. Right? But when Jesus came, what did he say? "Now all authority has been given unto me. Now I say unto you, go." And friends, let me tell you, how many of you agree that just like Israel, America needs somebody that's got a word? Your workplace needs somebody that's got a word. Your family needs somebody that's got a word. There's something you're going on in your life, you need a word. And the only way you're going to get a word that has authority, the only way I'm going to get it, is to get before the God and get in his presence, get on my knees, get in there and just dive in. And as they used to say, that old phrase, and pray through. What are we doing? We're praying through until God speaks, until we hear what he's having to say. And then we can walk and we can move with authority. Too many times, church, we've been guilty of walking just in fear and in lack and just being pushed about and tossed about by this thing and that thing. But what we need, God, help us to get in your presence and walk with confidence, because we've got a word. We got a word from God, and we can speak it and we can live it and we can do it with authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, help us. Too many lives today remain in jeopardy because of the absence of a word. So, church, help us to continue to go to God. That we're praying, that we're asking, that we're seeking, that we're knocking, and we're believing God. Amen? I want you to stand with me just all over this place this morning. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we need to be able to say at my word, because we've heard thy word, we can do it. Help us to do it. Jesus, help us to do it. Position us, O Lord. Position us, O Lord.